Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Welcome, everybody. This is Guest Thursday, and this is part two with Danny and Allie Weinberg from California. They've expressed, you know, where they live. They live north of Los Angeles. People that don't fully understand where how it all lays out, how do you describe exactly where you live, northern part of LA?
Right. Well, we live in Ventura County, which is about 60 miles north of Los Angeles. LAX, like if you fly into LAX, you go north. And we live in a part of California. We live in the country, and people are, when they come, they're like, who lives like this? And we go, we do. Yeah.
With a big avocado farm, right?
Yes.
If you remember old scenes from The Lone Ranger and all the old cowboy movies, those were all filmed essentially in our neighborhood.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I bet that's fun to watch some of those.
Right.
I know that rock.
Exactly.
Those big boulders that everybody rides around.
Uh-huh. And again, for context, you are not too far away from Burbank, where they did a lot of filming and stuff. So how close are you to that?
We're only about 30 miles from Burbank, but you're right. Some of the studios that are not, they're not just studios in Burbank, but there are studios out in some of the open areas between Burbank and where we live.
Yeah.
All through Simi Valley, for example. That's close to us.
Yeah. Really close.
And then the avocado. How many acres do you have of avocados?
We have 9.5 acres of avocados.
Right.
And how long have you been doing that? How long have y'all had that farm?
18 years.
Wow.
Yeah. We've lived there 25, and just, you know, a cool story about God and water, because California doesn't have enough water, supposedly, but we know they do. But we have natural aquifers in our mountain. So we had some guys from Davis?
C. Davis,
come down, and we thought we'd be vintners. So we were super excited about that. And they said, no, you're going to be avocado farmers. And we went, what? And you have the perfect soil, and it's just like Mexico, but you need a lot of water. And then God showed us this water on our property, which is just unbelievable. So that's what we're doing.
That's excellent.
It was huge.
And that per se saves you a lot of money, doesn't it?
Oh.
Yeah, the most expensive part of growing a fruit like avocado is the water.
Yes.
It dwarfs the cost of maintenance and management and all of that, and harvesting and processing. So it's all about water.
Yes.
And I remember when they were doing it, God said, well, I'm going to give you water that's there.
Wow.
that was remarkable.
It is. And, great story.
One time we should have them come on and just walk us through the miracle of the avocados over time, which are
amazing. Spectacular
in terms of, you know, including a feeding of the 5,000 experience. You know, is made multiplying in the baskets. I mean, it was amazing.
And the Sabbath.
Yeah, and the Sabbath and
the trees.
And the seventh year and all that. So we'll pick that up. Last time we talked about Jen and Allie have transitioned now 4 or 5 years ago. Then he was in another CEO role of a major division of Google, but he was working remotely, and he discussed about it was a transition himself, and God had said to him while he was thinking, okay, I'm going to end this at some point in time.
Yes.
What do we do next? And Denny said, in his mind, I'm thinking I just replaced the package I have with Google with a new package, and God says, well, this isn't what I am planning on you. I want you to think differently. The next season is about you and Allie, which Allie was happy to hear.
Good.
Now they had to start working that through, and they started learning a few things of how to spend some time together and reprioritize their timelines and activities because of it. And then one thing that was said to you was simplify. So now as you're looking at, you're really at this point now, you've been, you know, about a year into it, and you're sorting through, okay, what does this really look like now in our next season? And last time you mentioned that simplification was related to joy. And since we know that God's truth is one of the indicators of being a believer and yes. following him is, are you living in joy? And Denny, you made a pretty good comment there that typically we rarely get that full concept of everything, and we have pieces of joy. And talk about, you know, talk about work and then what that meant, that you had an element of it, but you didn't have all of it.
Yeah. So I was highly ambitious all of my adult life, really. And there were moments of where I would say at the time I was really joyful because I was being successful in what I was doing. I was being productive. I could see fruit from what I was doing. Yes. We were making a difference in, you know, complicated parts of both the industry and our, you know, the way people live. We could see, you know, yeah. impacts. But, and so I had moments of joy, but it was for me, I saw joy in my work. And so a lot of that, what it took to be successful in that way, took time away from my family. And even for several years, put me physically remote from my family. And so it wasn't joyful for Alice. She had moments of joy in some of that too, because it was, being in an executive world creates lots of entertainment opportunities that, yeah. that are part of that. So we had really wonderful times together, but I don't think there was a lot of joy that she got when I was feeling joy in my work. Yeah. So right. I was asking Rich about, we know God says that work is good, that, that marriage is good, but they don't always, they conflict with each other when you try and overlay joy.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. And when you think about that aspect of it, and this is one of the things we try to help people, if you would learn to abide, is that God says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So it basically says, if you're walking in my kingdom, all of your life is going to be lived in a joyful place. Right. Now, remember, it doesn't mean you don't have trouble and you don't have conflict and you don't have things you got to work through, because we live in a wicked world and a troubled world, but fundamentally, you're going to have joy. And so what happens is that we tend to segment our life so that if I'm in business, and generally, if you're having joy, you stay in kind of what you're doing. If you don't, you tend to think, I need to go find a different company, or I need to go find a different environment, because something just isn't clicking with that. And you focus on just the work of it. But we don't even look at, well, am I supposed to have joy in everything
yeah.
in life? Mm-hmm. And what does that really look like? And of course, from Allie's perspective, when that was happening is, yeah, and she could recognize, that Denny enjoyed what he was doing, but she wasn't experiencing the full joy. And
it was the hours away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but I would think he was encouraged by how much joy I was having with our new situation with grandchildren starting up and how much fun that was. And I think he envied it a little bit because I was super happy. Hmm. And it just brings so much another dimension to your life. And I really feel like he could see that. And the work life is hard. You have to be so unified on your goal when you work. Like, we're going to, do this for whatever, however many years, or this is my job now. And you have certain responsibilities, and we're kind of old fashioned. So I was a stay-at-home mom. And so I had the benefit of having these great relationships with the kids. But at this stage now, for Denny to enter into that is just fantastic. And I see him joyful in an area that, I think he'd come home sometimes and go, oh my God, all those grandkids are over here again. Isn't it fun? And he'd be thinking, I just got home from 12 hours.
I've got to open my computer and do some more work, and they're going to want some of my time.
Yeah. So it's a different perspective yeah. on joy and unity. It's like you have to be unified. Even when your husband has to work 10 long or 12 long hours of, a day.
Yeah. Yeah. And what we're trying to help everybody understand is that, because you guys are entering into this season where, just because of the structure of it,
right.
Denny is no longer an executive of a company that requires, the energy and time to go do that. He still has things to do, and they have, some projects that they're doing, but it's different. And we have a tendency to think, well, now that we're in this season, now we can figure this out, which God says, I want you to. And what God is saying to all of us is that, hey, everybody, pay attention to what I just said. I want you to simplify your life. Yes. And I'm talking about young couples. See, I'm talking about yes. those in their 30s and 40s and 50s, is that, hey, the key, simplify and let me guide you into joy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have joy now. You don't have to wait, till later.
Yeah, that's good.
And then, but now that we have it, God says, well, here's you are now. Are you going to process that now? Because I have that for you, and I've been moving you into that place. So as you look at that, how are you processing as you're thinking through, okay, how do we simplify and what does bring us joy? And one thing we know, God said, if I'm going to bring you joy, it has to be both of you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so talk about how you're processing that and what things you're considering to put those two things together.
You know, I think about, we have this conversation with some of our couple friends, and we are in a different place with this, because many of them have come to the conclusion that when they get to the end of their work life and their kids are grown up, that each one of them has passions that they have not been able to spend their time pursuing,
right.
And they start pursuing them. And Allie and I, we talk to them about, and I think they notice this about us, we do have interests that are different from each other, but we always pursue the interests, our own interests, where the other one would be willing to come along.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so we do a lot of that. And I find that unique when I think about some of our friends, not all of them. But I think, I don't know, for us, I just feel like this is what we both really wanted in our hearts.
Mm-hmm. And I think just having this conversation, when Rich was saying 30s, I want to make sure and speak into kids that are in their 30s and 40s, because you tend to think you're, oh my gosh, this is a drudgery. You both work 40, 50 hours. You've got children. And is this what life is about? But pursuing the unity together with God, even in the midst of that, what Rich was saying, I want to make sure our kids are enjoying life and not saying, well, when we're 60, we're going to start enjoying life. And it's kind of like, it doesn't work that way. God wants you and speaks into that a lot more about enjoyment now.
I resonate with what Allie just said. I think if there's anything that's about that we both have a heart for now, it is speaking to kids, speaking to couples that are our kids' age.
Mm-hmm.
And really, because we, you know, in a way we missed it. We were so focused on the way our lives played out. And the question I would love to be able to challenge people to is, if you have the opportunity to see simplicity now, a simpler life now, and a more unified pursuing things that are joyful for you together as a couple, could you really do it while you're burdened with, you know, you
raising
both,
a family,
because all our kids, everybody works. And in today's world, very few couples aren't in that situation where they're both working. They're trying to get kids to school. And everybody's going crazy. So this idea, can we speak something into them that we missed maybe along the way, that you can have some joy along the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's all about decisions, particularly around opportunity, so that as you're building a business or part of a business, you could do certain things because the enemy would like to present it to you. I have an example of this is a couple probably in their early 40s. He's pretty successful in restoration construction business. Mm-hmm. And he's figured out some terrific ways to do it. And he had opportunity recently to go across country and set up a new division. If somebody was going to say, hey, I see what you're doing. There's plenty of opportunity. I'll help fund this and we'll partner and you go do this. And it was very attractive financially. And it was, hey, I'm going to build my business, grow my business. So we looked at that. And it really came down to what you said is the challenge was, well, does this complicate or simplify what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could have simplified it if he said, well, I can move to a different level and have other people do it. But it didn't. No, it's going to complicate it. And then two is that going to be joy, not just to you, but to your spouse and your family? Mm-hmm. And the answer was no. So the answers were both of those, no. And God says, no.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's about the decisions that we can make, you know, now, which is now you're facing the same thing of, okay, you understand it, you know, daughter and son, God speaking, are you going to follow what I'm going to show you about how to live that out in this phase of life? So as you've sorted that out, what kind of things have you looked at and come to some conclusions about? It's we can simplify and we can.
Yeah, I love the two questions that you asked, because we don't stop and realize that every pursuit and every that we follow and everything that we buy or every hobby that we take on, that everything you do carries with it sort of a maintenance burden.
Yeah.
It might bring, you know, it might be fun, it might bring joy, but everything brings along with it a burden that's got to be maintained.
Right.
Or it will turn out to be have been a bad pursuit or a bad investment. And so we don't tend to do that. Especially when we're younger, we're trying to accumulate, you know, things to do, things to have.
But that's a really good question Rich had, those two. Will it benefit me and my family, you know, and my spouse? It's such a great way to look at that.
Yep.
It's really, and I think that's what we get now is we get the freedom to, yes, let's do that together. Let's, you know, even taking a trip up here to Vail with the cases. I mean, for 30 years, we couldn't do that. You know, take the time off work and Denny be relaxed. And those are great pursuits, you know, and God is showing us, teach us to others, teach this to young families, you know, that they can pursue a career and joy and have joy in the midst of the pursuit. Instead of, like Rich was saying earlier, the joy will come later. Because a lot of times that's what fractures you. Is that you don't have joy in the pursuit. Then you have to find joy and maybe it won't even be together, which was so harsh.
It's interesting. As you say that, even I just think the message that you're talking about is so countercultural.
Yes.
But it is exactly what Christ exemplifies, right? Amen. Is truly simplifying and what really matters. And I love there's this picture that I just see over the two of you in the midst of this, as he's taking you into this season of, you know, real joy is going to be found in things you pursue together. And that's your marriage. And isn't our marriage supposed to be a picture of Christ and his church?
Absolutely.
Amen.
That's so good.
And so true joy, we simplify, we pull back, is what I'm doing bringing me closer to God? Is what I'm doing making me more of who he desires me to be? Or am I filling in things by doing because the culture says that doing is where my value comes from? And then we pull that back and model that in our marriage too, as he's just inviting you into the season. True joy is going to come when you simplify and you build what I have given the two of you together that represents the picture of me and my church.
Right.
And people will see him clearly in that representation. It's just a beautiful picture.
I love it.
And as you guys are into this phase now, what kinds of things have you already learned and enjoy? What kind of things are you doing together that you enjoy doing?
Well, we love to go. We have the Reagan Library like 15 minutes from our home.
And I love that place.
It's so great. And we just went and saw the Dead Sea Scrolls. And that was fun. And there's lots of speakers. So we have the time to do that. We have the time to pursue lunch together. We have time. We help our one daughter picking up grandchildren. You know, it's just been actually the time and enjoying it, enjoying your time and not looking at it like, oh my gosh, I've got to be somewhere, you know, 8:05.
Yeah. I piddle around on the piano, but I no longer expect myself to perfect the instrument because that's how I always thought when I retire, I'm going to be able to study and be able to play as good as I consciously said, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. But we got tickets to the season tickets to the symphony. So Allie likes music. She doesn't have the deep appreciation that I do, but she likes it. And so we go and we enjoy it together. So I think for me, it was always about, I don't have to perfect something. I can just enjoy something. I can enjoy lots of, you know, she goes on these quilting trips. I go with her and with the other husbands and we hang out while they quilt or whatever.
I love it.
Or talk about quilting.
And when you, what symphony you go to?
There's actually a local symphony in our little town. The performance. And so we go there.
That's fun.
Yeah, we do. We go about every 3 weeks. They have a Saturday night and we make dinner plans or we take another couple. Or
we went to a local theater, a little neighborhood theater a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, so you find fun things to do.
And you know, you gave a great example, Denny, and maybe talk a little bit more about it, is that you had a goal is I'm going to become an accomplished pianist.
Yes, that was my goal.
And you could spend the energy to do that.
Yeah.
No problem. But it shifted and you said, well, and God, remember when he says truth, he says, well, it's kind of a simple question. Son, does that include Allie?
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then no. The answer is no. I want you to look at it. I don't want you to give up piano.
Right.
I just want you to do it in a different way. So how have you now learned to enjoy? You used it piddling around on the piano. You actually have joy doing that. How has that brought joy to you?
First of all, I got an instrument that would be a lot more helpful to me. Some of these advanced instruments, you can shortcut a lot of things. And I decided it was okay if I take shortcuts, if I like almost like AI helping me on some of this. But I will still order pieces that I have always loved, some of the classical stuff, and I'll slowly learn parts of it. But if I only learn like a first movement of something, or on a more contemporary piece, I learn, part of it, and then I never get back to it, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Because I just let myself enjoy it.
He's learned to play a lot of worship music on the piano, which I love. Yeah. Walking into the living room and he's playing. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And I can sit there while he's playing and it's really enjoyable, but it wouldn't be for 10 hours.
Or if I was practicing.
To get perfected.
Like, practice.
Make a lot of mistakes.
There's nothing more annoying than
Wait.
We were exactly right. We were on a trip to Salzburg and we went into the church that Maria von Trapp and Captain von Trapp got married. The real church they got married. It's magnificent. Wow. And so we're in there and we want to enjoy the beauty, but there's a guy tuning the organ. It's the most nauseous. It was awful. Man, we like, let's get out of here because it's so
just
awful. So, as you now look at this next season, and you've laid out some things now in principles, you can't really say this is the way the next year is going to play out, but you know the principles of it so that as things come up and you start planning, some trips, which you're doing at Christmas and other things, you just say, well, is it both of us? And is it simplifying our life? And do you feel that you're clear and you're able to process those things together so that you come to God's conclusion about now the specific things that'll play out?
I think so. I think we're much clearer about decisions we're making, and also what we've been learning is, obviously for the last 20 years is go to God first, because our decisions haven't always led to the fruit we wanted to have, So I think always go to God first with the big decisions. Like, I think sometimes about if one person's not happy with the decision, that's a clear indication that you didn't get unity, right?
That's right.
So we have.
We also discuss and debate real issues more now than we did.
Right.
Because we both have time. And for some reason, Allison has much more interest now in current events. And I have been trying, and because of that, I've really been trying to listen more.
Yeah.
Which I'm terrible at. And so it means that we have the opportunity to actually discuss and debate really important topics, world topics, where we don't really come from the same place on some of them.
Yeah.
Because we have different sources of input.
Yeah.
Also with our grown children, three of them have had very serious health complications. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just be able to be in their life, praying with them, helping them. Denny does a lot of research. One of our daughters, it's real, and it speaks love to them because you're caring for your children, even though they're grown, but they have our grandchildren. So, this is something we're also teaching them, is that just because you grow up doesn't mean you grow away.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'm working on material of what does it look like to be a matriarch and patriarch,
really,
particularly with adult children. And we'll have you back on because you've learned a bunch of things. Typically, people think, well, I'll just give them whatever they need, and won't that be a good idea? And actually, God says that's not such a good idea. Because you got to look at the life in broad perspective, which is really what we're talking about, is how can I help them simplify and have joy?
Yes.
And it may not be to give them something. It may be to challenge them on something. So that'll be interesting discussion.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You guys have learned some things about
that. Yeah.
Yes.
That's beautiful. So thank you so much for sharing. It's a joy to just listen to your joy. And I can say that it's evident. It's beautiful. We pray, Father, nothing but blessing over Denny and Allie, that this simplification and joy process would now characterize their life, that they learn it and they begin then to give it away to others, their family, their children, and other people that need to hear this message now. And so we just thank you for their bearing witness, for the pleasure that we get to be with them and just have some joy this week as we're up in Vail together. And thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining us, guys. Always a pleasure. And to our listeners, thank you. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them into us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.